Today we're going to talk about the tithe as the Lord's. Now listen, don't get nervous about the tithe because people say, well, why is he talking about my money? The tithe isn't your money, it's God's money. So you don't have to get nervous about somebody else's pockets, all right? But this is what we do at the beginning of the month to teach for people and to understand what it is. And there's three reasons why I do this. One, it's to confirm the saints. The saints who are already tithing, that already get this, it confirms what you're doing. And it also helps you so that if you are going to disciple someone, you are teaching them how to do this as well. Then it also is a challenge to the saints. Those saints that come regularly, that believe the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, maybe you're not tithing, and this is a challenge to you to start tithing. And then it's also to coach the lost. The lost doesn't understand why we would give money to God, but we're coaching and teaching them why we do this and why we believe this and how God honors and blesses those things. And so it's threefold in nature. I'm not going to spend much time on it today. Honestly, I'm going to just talk through it. But one thing for the saint, I believe, is this. Luke 18:8 tells us this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Tithing is one of two things. It's either a lack of faith, you don't believe you can, you don't trust God enough that you can do it, or it's a lack of obedience. It's only one or the other. There is no in between. And so when Jesus comes back to earth, will he find faith? And I believe there's two major faithless situations for believers. Believers are faithless in their witness and they're faithless in their tithe. They're too afraid to witness and tell other people about Jesus, or they're too afraid to tithe because they say, well, how will we pay the bills? How will we do this? And I would say to you this, it's either that lack of faith. I hope it's not a lack of obedience, but it's one or the other. And so today we're going to look at this. A recent Gallup poll says that the average church in America reports that only 17% of its members tithe. You know this. As soon as you join Assurance Baptist Church, you get a tithe book. It helps Nancy keep things in order. Remember this, the pastor has no idea who tithes other than the assistant pastors, the deacons and trustees. I check those things quarterly because they can't be in leadership teaching and telling other people to do it if they're not willing to do it. But other than that, I have no idea what anybody else gives. Miss Nancy knows, those mature adults that count would know if somebody's giving, but they don't even know if somebody's giving online. Only Miss Nancy knows that. So you see that lady right there? Be sure your sin will find you out. And her name is Nancy. Amen. She knows. I don't even know. And I don't want to know. Sometimes she's like, Pastor, I'm like, don't tell me. I don't want to know because I don't want it to affect how I minister to anyone. And it's not my money. Understand this. I'm the pastor of this church. It's not my money. It doesn't go in my pocket. I don't see it. I don't count it. I don't deal with it. It's God's. Now, I am God's shepherd, his under shepherd of this church. So it's my responsibility as the bishop to manage those things. And it's my responsibility as the bishop to make sure that we are taking it up properly. So we do it decent in order. So there's books and all these different things. The reality of church is this. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to do this. We're commanded to do this. But the Gallup poll says 40% of Christians not only didn't tithe, but they gave nothing all year. 40% of believing Christians gave nothing all year. Pastor, why do we have to talk about money? Well, because the Bible does. Jesus offered 36 parables while he was on earth, and 16 of those parables deal with our attitudes towards money. 10% of the verses in the New Testament talk about money. So therefore, God is interested in money. And there's also something else interested, and there's someone else interested in your money, and that's the devil. The devil has a plan for your money. The devil wants to keep you under a curse. He wants to keep you in debt. He wants you to keep on working and working and working, but never get ahead. He wants to keep you in financial bondage without a blessing. Because it's true that financial mismanagement and struggle is the number one reason for Christian and non-Christian divorce. He's going to rob you of the blessing of giving, and this is going to keep you financially broke and spiritually broke until you get this. I want to look in the Bible at Leviticus 27 and verse 30 very quickly this morning. Jesus is going to back this up a little bit later in the New Testament because everything in the Old Testament is confirmed by everything in the New Testament. The Bible says, in all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord. And so I call this message, the tithe is the Lord's. You see it right there in the Bible. I didn't make it up. I didn't create it. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, that's what God says. That's his standard. You say, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. That's the law. Well, I can prove to you that before the law, the tithe was. Look at Hebrews 7, verse 2 through 4. Now, this happens in the book of Genesis. You could go look it up for yourself in Genesis, but it's confirmed in the New Testament because we're New Testament believers. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth, that is, the word tithe is a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. He gives it to Melchizedek, who is the priest and king, who is the intimation, some people believe, a Christophany of Christ, but he gives it to that person. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth as a priest continually. Now watch this. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Father Abraham, the father of our faith, of all Abrahamic faith, he believed in the tithe and tithed to that high priest and king. Melchizedek was his name. You can go back and read that in Genesis. Jesus confirms Leviticus 27 in Matthew 23 and 23. This is red letters. Now, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done and not to leave. See what Jesus does there? The other undone. He talks about the tithe is right to do, and he says, these ye ought to have done. It's right to tithe. So Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, commands it, and he backs it up and confirms what was written in Levitical law and prior to that. Then we say, what about the church? What does it look like in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Watch this. These are the apostles. These are the days of the Acts of the Apostles. Upon the first day of the week, let everyone, the first day of the week, by the way, is Sunday. If you look on any calendar, Sunday is the first day of the week. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. We're going to talk about the storehouse in a moment in Malachi. As God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He says, hey, listen, you have a church. You got to be able to keep the heat on. You got to be able to keep the lights on. And that doesn't come out of my pocket. It comes out of God's pocket. And how does God do that? He does that through the tithe, through the 10% that's already his. Open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. I'll do this in quick work this morning. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. It's going to show up on your screen here. We're going to read it. We're going to read one verse together when we stand here. So if you found that and you're able, stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. You say, where's Malachi? My kids used to call it Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. So if you find Matthew, go back and you'll find Malachi. All right? Malachi 3 and 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. The grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, hide me behind your cross. Let me only preach that thus saith the Lord this morning. Father, let it be responded to by the hearers of the word, that they would become doers of it. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Number one, I want you to see there in verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes. Bring all the tithes. What it means is a tithe literally means 10%. And so you say, well, I can do 5% or I can do 6% or I can do 7%. But the Bible says that you have robbed God. Let's read verse 8 together. It says this, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. God says, if you're giving 9.5%, you're robbing me of 0.5%. It's a full 10%. You say, well, 10% for me is a lot more than 10% for somebody else. Then you don't understand statistics. 10% is 10%. So if you're on a fixed income and you give 10% of that, yes, it may be less than someone who has a two-income family, but 10% is equal, and it's 10%. 10% of 100 is $10. 10% of $1,000 is $100. 10% of $10,000 is $1,000. I'm not going to go much higher because I'm not good at math. But it's equal. It's equitable. 10%. Don't you wish the government did it that way? It'd be good if the government said, okay, because they've got people, you know who they always get? The middle class. The middle class are the always ones to pay. I don't care if it's Democrats or Republicans in office, the middle class are always the ones who are paying the more than anybody else. Because the big time guys that are rich, they have ways around it. They get tax abatements and they get different things. They'll find a ways around it. The people who are incredibly poor, they don't maybe have that income coming in. But people who are working, self-employed, W-2 employees are always getting the worst of it. And in God's economy, he says, this is fair, 10%. So if you make $50, listen, teenagers, if you have a job and you make $120 a week, guess what? You owe $12 to the Lord. And listen to what I say. You owe it to the Lord because it's his. Watch this. Here's a little rhyme for you. My pastor taught me this. I'll teach you, and I've added one. But tithing is a debt we owe. Giving is a seed we sow. Let's say it out loud. Tithing is a debt we owe, giving is a seed we sow. Now, I made up my own because people say, well, I'll tithe on this. Well, let me tell you this. The Bible says it's the first fruits, that God gets the first of it. And so you tithe on your gross income and not your net. Because the government and your unions, when they take from you, they take from the big number. And so I know your check says this, but you only get this. Watch, gross is the most. Net is what you get, right? So let's say it out loud here. Gross is the most. Net is what you get. But God gets out of your gross. So people say, well, I'll give all my tax return at tax return time. Let me just say this to you. The government doesn't give you all your money back at tax return time. Your pastor is a business administration, financial management graduate before he was a pastor, and I understand taxes and tax codes. And what you get back, if you even get anything back at tax return time, isn't a tithe. They don't give you all that back. So why is it important? Because the tithes are obedience to God. He says, all, bring all the tithes, not part, but some. Listen, don't tip God. God's not looking for a tip. He's looking for a tithe. Amen. Tithing is a debt we owe. Giving is a seed we sow. 10% of your increase, your salary, your retirement, your social security, your commissions, your tips, your house sale, your tax returns, investment payouts, you are to give God 10% of any of those things. Now, I'll tell you what you don't have to give 10% on. Somebody gives you a birthday present. Cash, you don't have to tithe on that because it wasn't increased earned in wages. That was a gift. God is not that person. He's not looking for that. But I'll tell you this. I know that the only way some people are going to give 10% is when they realize that God has given you all 100%. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I believe that we understand that the tithe is all, is the 10%, but we understand that God has given 100%. Let me tell you how good this works. Let me tell you how amazing this is. Some of you in this room grew up on sharecropping and different things like that. And so the owner of the farm is allowing you to farm some of that and share in the crops. But what they're getting in return is either some rent or some of the return or some of the crops themselves that you're going to go pick it and you're going to give some of that. And they're saying to you, this would be a really good deal. If the person that owned it says, you get to keep 90% of what you collect and I only want you to bring 10%. Most of us who are reasonable will say, that's a pretty good deal. It's a pretty good deal, isn't it? This is why I don't believe in giving my kids an allowance, because the allowance is those green beans you're eating. The allowance is that chicken on the pot. The allowance is the electric. The allowance is the water when you're taking 37,000 showers, teenagers. Amen. So it doesn't work like that. But here's a good deal. So here's the 10% I want for my kids. I'm giving you everything, and all I want you to do is clean a dish every once in a while. It's not even 10% of the work. Every once in a while, perhaps you should do a load of laundry. Every once in a while, perhaps you could cut the grass. Now, my kids do wonderful with this. I'm not hating on them. But see how that works? It's a pretty good deal, isn't it? You get to live here, free room and board. We take care of everything. And all you got to do is every once in a while, clean up after yourself. Pretty good deal. I wanted to get out of my parents' house so bad. And there's days in my life where I go, why did I do that? Why didn't I just stay there and keep mooching for a little bit longer? Amen? God's letting you mooch off of him 90%, and he's only requiring you to do 10% back. It's pretty good. But it says also in verse 10 that you can bring an offering. So remember I said that this is to confirm the saints. Some of you saints are faithful tithers, but you can also bring an offering. If you're able to do more than that, tithing is not just this limit. You just stop at 10%. You can't do more or less. A tithe is 10%. So 9% is not a tithe. 11% is not a tithe. You get to 10%. Once you're doing that, anything above that is an offering. And so we have a missions fund, we have a building fund. Whether you give to that or not, don't have anything to do with me. That's between you and the Lord. Amen. The tithe doesn't have anything to do with me either, but that's God's, right? But an offering above that, that's up to you if you decide. Watch what it says in verse 10. It says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse we saw in the New Testament, they laid it at the feet of the apostles. It's the church. Your tithe is not given on some online platform to missions. That's not a tithe. The tithe goes to the local church. Bible tells us, it commands that. That there may be meat in mine house. What does that mean? It means so that we can have juice for the kids in Sunday school. It means so that we can have goldfish crackers for the kids in the nursery. It means so that we can have certain things. We can have sound and microphones and lights and these different things. It doesn't have to be fancy, but nobody's coming to church if it's always cold in here or always hot in here. And you say, well, Pastor, I feel like it's always cold or hot. Nobody's getting hypothermia in here and nobody's getting heat stroke in here. All right, listen, all these things cost money. And he says that there may be meat in mine house. Not that I have to always keep on. Listen, I don't keep hitting our church in the head and say, well, we got to raise this, we got to raise that. Very rarely do we ever take up any extra offering for anything because the meat's already there. We don't need it. I told you before, I could drive a better truck. I choose not to because I'm not going to rob from the Lord. I'd rather bless the church than me riding around. I mean, I bought my truck, but I'm saying I do that so I'm not out there. Listen, I don't need to be balling. For what? For what? I'm a preacher. I'm a middle-aged man, a preacher. I don't need to be out here trying to look cute to death. No, I just need a truck that gets me where, from point A to point B. That's all I need. But watch what it says. But here's this offering. He says, prove me now herewith, if I not open you up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you shall not be have room enough to receive it. He says, you can do this, but remember what it said in verse 8, where have you robbed me? He says, in the tithe and the offering. And when it talks about the offering, I want you to get this. When you get great service at a restaurant, if you're not cheap, you should give a great tip. My wife knows this. Even when I didn't have a dollar to my name, I believe in the service industry. And so those men and women who serve and do a great job of serving at a restaurant, I'm always trying to leave a good tip, a great tip. When I tip with the church, when God, if I'm going to leave an Assurance Baptist Church track, I'm going to leave a big tip. Baptists are known for this. The meal was $100 and you left a $5 tip and have the audacity to leave a track. They're not coming to your church, baby. Don't leave an Assurance Baptist Church. Leave a Crestview track if you're going to act a fool. Leave a Calvary. Now, I love Crestview. I'm just saying, don't leave an Assurance Baptist Church track if you're not going to leave a good tip. Just go on and don't wear an Assurance Baptist Church t-shirt if you're going to be cheap. You know what it is? I had a buddy, a pastor, and he went all over the world preaching, a revivalist, an evangelist. He went all over the world preaching and teaching, and he come back off the airport, and he came into the airport, and he went into the terminal, and there was a nice a store, and he said, I'm going to get my wife something and take her home something nice. And he got in there, and he said, you know, airport prices are sky high. He said, oh, this is too expensive. And so he went up to the register, and he asked the lady behind the desk, do you have anything any less expensive? And she gave him this. He said, no, that's too much. Anything less expensive? Anything more cheap than this? And she gave him something else. He said, no, I need something more cheap than that. And so finally the lady took out a mirror and showed herself to him. He said, you want to be cheap? Listen, don't be cheap. But the Bible says this, an offering is a tip, basically. You're giving God something because he's so good. He served you so well. He's done such a great job that you want to give him more. Listen, the tithe is the bill. If you don't pay your bill, if you don't pay for what you just ate, you're going to jail, baby. But listen, if you had the great meal and they had great service, you want to give more out of the abundance of your heart. God loveth a cheerful giver, the Bible says. But I know this. Even in our church, there's three groups in the churches. One, it's all mine, and that's the tipping group. I share with God when I want to. And so when the offering plate comes around, you put $3 or $4 or $5, whatever change you can scrounge up in your pockets, and you just throw that in there and say, God, this is, I'm just going to tip you, God. I'm going to give you this. But You're never going to give a tithe. You're never going to, as soon as we give you that tithe book, you done lost it because you never intended on doing it. Then there's a second group. I'll do the 10%, and that's God's, but the rest is mine. And sometimes I share with God in a missions offering or a building because I feel like I have to. And God says, I love a cheerful giver. He says, don't do this grievously. Don't do this because you feel like you have to. No, listen, you don't have to. But then there's that third group. But they believe this. All 100% is all God's, and God shares with me. Just because the other 90% is mine doesn't give me the right to do with it what I want. Watch this. The Bible teaches us clearly you will be judged one day for what you did with your money. We give to what we want to. Football games, vacations, Kings Island. We give to do all these different things, to pay high concession prices when we go somewhere. We buy things. We buy $5 and $6 coffees, and we do all these different things. We buy our kids toys they don't need and all this other stuff. And the Bible is very clear that that is you robbing God. Then it says, bring it to the storehouse. I talked about this for a moment there in verse 10. The temple, the first tenth that was brought to the temple was the harvest, and it was for the animals and in the place of worship. And there's no side deals with God. In the New Testament, we saw that they laid it down at the apostles' feet on the first day of the week. Now, I want you to think about this. If you call Assurance Baptist Church your home church, then you would want to be invested in this church. And if you didn't want to be invested in this church, then I would say to you, this is how unwise it is. The CEO of McDonald's never eats at Wendy's. Because then he's raising Wendy's profit margin. He's raising the investments at Wendy's or she. And so guess what I know about this? The CEO of McDonald's, their kids, when they say, we want Wendy's, they say, no. Mickey D's, unless they have some other subsidiaries. And I'll say to you, it makes sense. If you're Assurance Baptist Church, why do I say that? Because there are people in our churches who are invested in so many things. They're invested in their kids' school projects. They're invested in government. And all that stuff is fine, but don't forget that part of your investment in your life, hopefully, if you're a member or a regular attender of this church, is to be invested in the work of God and invested in the church of God. And because of that, you're going to give your tithe. You're going to give here. I don't care if you want to save the whales and you want to give $100 to save the whales every week. Listen, my wife will tell you, I have a hard time sometimes when I see the little kids on the commercials on TV that come from all the little hospitals and they get on there. And then, you know, this time of year, they start playing sad Christmas music. Sometimes I see the little dog's faces and they start playing Silent Night and In the Arms of the Angel. And I see the little dog's face and, you know, and his ribs are sticking out. And I'd be like, just change it, write a check. Just. Give it all to them. I'm sick of this. But I would never do that unless I was already giving God what's his and that I was invested in this. Because the other thing you should know about this is tried and true, trusted. You know, here you're fed with the words of God. You're fed with fellowship, love, devotion, opportunity. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But I would say to you this, the reason why we're invested, why we want to give to this is because this is an honest place to give to. Every week we post in the bulletin what came in, and I've said it from the pulpit, and I'll say it again. There's nothing hidden. If you want to go ask Sister Nancy what I make or what Brandon makes or what's been going out and coming in, we have a business meeting every year. I only do it once a year because only half of you show up when we do it on Sunday night anyway. And so, listen, when we do that, we come up and we show everything that we're spending on. Nancy will tell you we have 3 billion categories: revival, missions, ministry, fellowship, youth, young at hearts, heavenly hearts, nursery, Awana, children's. I mean, we have a fund for everything, and here, not a fund for everything, but a marker for everything. We know where every penny is going, and that's not hidden to anybody. Most of you are too, it would be too boring for you to want to go sit down beside Nancy and be like, show me everything, but because it's a lot of work, okay? Listen, it's not just as easy, but guess what? But it's an honest place. You can give to a lot of things in the world, and we don't know where it's going. I have to be very careful when things like what's going on in Jamaica, pray for Jamaica, is going on because I want to give and just give them everything I possibly can, but you got to make sure that it gets to where it's going. When we had that situation up north, Sister Abby serving the nursery this morning, we had that situation with the big storms up north there in Indian Lake and all those places, and when we found out that Miss Abby was going to be going up there and partnering with a local ministry up there, we're like, Abby, we'll just give you the check because we trust that that's where it's going. Instead of sending it to this humanitarian effort, because what I found out about a lot of those places is the CEOs of those places are millionaires. So they pocketed $100 and gave $5 to the actual need. But guess what? When the tornadoes hit here in Dayton, people sent this church money. Our group of friends in Texas sent us $5,000. People sent us water. And I can guarantee you that every single penny went to the tornado relief. Pastor Carter and myself and Pastor Brandon and myself, Miss Megan, we're out there, all of our kids, walking the streets when everybody's house was obliterated. We were in the stores buying snacks and goodies and handing out water and doing everything we could. Every penny was spent to help with the efforts right here in Dayton, Ohio. Not one penny went in my pocket. Not one penny went in their pocket. It never even really cleared the church. We put it in there and we was at Kroger right away. There's pictures on Facebook. You'll see little kids, people got carts. Everybody's walking down the street. We're doing all kinds of things and everything around you is just tore up. We spend every single dime on relief right here in this town. Because we brought it into the storehouse and then parted out from there. But I also want you to remember this. We bring it into the storehouse and we don't pay the tithe. We return it. So that means don't expect anything in return. Twofold. We don't believe in prosperity gospel. Just because you give your tithe or because you pay your tithe, however you want to say it, return your tithe, don't mean you're going to get rich. Prosperity gospel says, well, if you give to God, you'll get it. Listen, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's the same people. People that believe like that are the same, let me just say this frankly, the same idiots that buy Peter Popoff's water in the middle of the night and rub it on their checkbook and then, I got $10,000. No, you didn't. Stop lying. You're a paid actor. Shut up. No, that doesn't happen here. It's real, and we take it in, and we receive it on behalf of the Lord. And then we put it into the account and spend it on the things that the Lord would have us to spend it on. But because you tithe, doesn't give you any more influence, doesn't give you any more opinion. Because guess what? It's not yours. It's God's. Well, I tithe. I give all this money to the church. And first of all, I don't know. And second of all, it's not yours. It's God's. So no matter how much you give, you don't get no more influence because you gave that. This isn't a charitable organization like that. You tithe a whole bunch of money. Your name's not getting put up over top of the sanctuary. Well, here's the Darlene Hackney Sanctuary. No, this is God's. Listen, you know, you ever been to somewhere like that? You've been to a gym or something like that and somebody paid for it. And so on the floor, it's got somebody's name. That's because this is a big donor and they gave a lot of money. And that's fine in the world. But here we know it's God's. I'm not going to do it. I'll tell you this, tithing brings on a blessing. Tithing brings on a blessing. Look at verses 11 and 12. God says this, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That's Satan. Remember I said Satan's interested in your money? Now don't raise your hand, because I've been in this situation in my life. But you ever feel like you're just working and working and working, but you just never can get ahead? You feel like every time you get a little check, every time you get a little side gig, every time you start to get a little money, that your car breaks down and all that went right away? Amen. You ever feel like, we just now getting ahead, and then one of your kids breaks its leg, and then you got to pay? You ever felt, now watch, I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong necessarily, but I'm saying it happens more often because Satan is going to get, listen, he's going to get some of your money. If God's not rebuking, watch what it says. And I will rebuke the devourer. God's not rebuking Satan from your money if you're not giving God what's already his. That's foolish. Sometimes God's going to allow you to learn. Remember the Bible says God chastens those whom he loves. Some of you are saved and you're not tithing. God's going to allow you to keep being broke until you start tithing. Because he's not going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. He's going to let you keep getting a spanking. Every time you try to get ahead, you might, oh, yes, we got $10,000 in our tax return. And guess what? The next week, the cars broke down. My pastor said there was one time in his life that he didn't tithe. He said he went home, and that week, the lawnmower broke down. He said, I never forgot. I never forgot again. He just forgot. He said, I never forgot again. Watch this. He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us, but he wouldn't be a good father if he blesses you for disobedience. I never bless my children for disobedience. How foolish is that? I told you to wash the clothes, and you didn't wash them. I come home, that's fine. Let's go get ice cream. Some of you raise your kids like that, and you're going to find out how they're going to end up. I'm not saying you got to beat your kids or be mean to your kids, but I am saying to this, you better make them be responsible. That's for another day. The parenting class is coming up on the 19th. Not that I have it all figured out. We're using biblical principles. God does have it figured out. And he shall destroy the fruits of your ground. Watch this. You keep on trying to earn. I got a new job. I got this one. I got this side hustle. I got that side hustle. And you never get any better. You never get anywhere. Why? Because you're not doing the original part. You're robbing God, and God's not going to bless you. And so Satan keeps eating up all the fruit of your ground. Imagine you plant a garden, and you get out there, and you plant a garden. You're looking for bountiful fruit to come. You're looking for good stuff to come. And by the time you get to the end, when it's supposed to be good fruit, the worms have come in and ate everything up and destroyed it. They've taken it. That's what Satan's doing to some of your fruit. You think that you're going to reap a great harvest, and Satan's going to steal it. He's not going to destroy the fruit of your ground if God's rebuking it. Neither shall you your vine cast forth her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. It won't come up too early either. And it says this, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. What are the blessings? See, if everybody in church gets this, we're going to lack for nothing. You may lack in your personal life. There may be times where the church can't afford to do this, but what I'm saying about lack for nothing, we won't lack in blessings. We'll know that we're still in God's favor. What are the blessings? Satan will stop stealing your money and will stop making you hurt and will stop having your money hurt you. Some of your money is hurting you today. Some of your money is hurting you physically. Some of your money is hurting you spiritually. Some of your money is hurting you financially. But your money can be hurting you. And Satan will use it for those purposes. Satan's never going to use anything for good because the enemy only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God will protect you from having stolen blessings. See, when you have cheese, the more rats that will come. But you don't have to set up traps for rats when you bring the tithe and the offerings because God will rebuke them supernaturally. You know, there are as many millionaires are made in a year in the United States of America, there's that many people that lose their millionaire status. And the major reason why they lose their millionaire status is not because of bad investment, it's not even because of sin necessarily, but my assumption is most of these people aren't Christians and aren't tithing, and they go broke because they didn't return the tithe. And what usually happens is Satan has sent them a crooked accountant, a crooked attorney, a leeching. A lot of them, they got 35 baby mamas. Oh, listen to me. Satan will find a way. Don't you ever be confused that Satan himself can even turn into an angel of light. He transforms into an angel of light. And so some of these young ball players out here, men and women, they get a $1 million contract. Then all of a sudden some pretty young thing has come, hair did, nail did, everything did, bat they eye. And now you got baby one, baby two, baby three, baby four. And all she said is, oh, baby, because she's getting a lot of money coming in child support. She said, I can raise this baby for $1 million. And now they got these young boys out here. They got their hair groomed back, slicked back, looking good, came out and polished, and they did out at the WNBA game. Hey, Caitlin, hey, girl, let me talk to you for a moment. And they're trying to figure out everything they can so they can be some coattail riders. I'm just telling you, you better be careful because Satan will find a way to get your money if you won't return your tithe to God. But then it says this. See, all these hangers-on and leeches that these people have, these millionaires, is because there's nobody there to rebuke them. They've put their trust in men taking care of their finances instead of trusting God. But Christians are the same way. Will I find faith when I come on earth? All nations will call you blessed, it says. Even without a dime to your name, there are people who have more money than me. They don't have more wealth, but they have more blessings. Let me explain this to you. I'll use a personal story so I don't offend anybody and I'm finished. Can I tell you that when I first became a Christian, I have two stories. My salvation story is kind of weird because there was a time of salvation, there was a time of surrender, and sometimes they get blended together for me because I learned it so wrong so long that by the time I started getting good doctrine, I was so confused. And then when I read my Bible through cover to cover four or five times myself, then I started to get enlightened through the Holy Spirit of, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. My wife was ahead of me in the game, and she knew these things. But when I was young, boy, man, I was flyer than an elephant butt. You know what I mean? I was up there. had all the Jordans, had all the stuff. Now, I know you guys are looking at me now and don't understand this, but I had 360 sporting waves, you know what I'm talking about? Like, my stuff was right, boy. I'll go to sleep with that wave cap on, wake up in the morning, say, whoo, make you seasick, look at them things. Boy, I was slicker than a can of oil, boy. I was out here. You should have seen me. I was something to behold. I got in the church, and my wife starts saying, we got a tithe. I said, okay, what's that? She said, that means 10%. I said, of what? Of whose? I said, we don't got a dime. Now, this is the true story. Back then, my wife could eat different things that she can't eat now. And me and my wife lived off Kraft macaroni and cheese in a place called Pizza in Motion for a long time. We would sit in our bed, and we put the baby to bed, and we would eat Pizza in Motion and eat Kraft macaroni and cheese. We didn't have nothing. We had a dog named Charlie Murphy, and see, he wasn't tithing, and Charlie Murphy chewed up our whole kitchen floor one day, just a big hole in it. We're like, what kind of dog is this? Soon after, Charlie Murphy found a new home. We didn't understand. My wife was ahead of me. She's like, we got to do this. I said, how we... We broke. Now, I know you guys aren't going to understand this because now this sounds ridiculous, but back then in the early 2000s, we both made like $11 an hour, thought we was rich. $11 an hour, we was out here balling. Y'all should have seen us. We was out here living good. My wife had a car payment. I had a car payment. We really thought I owned a house that she moved into when we got married. We really thought we was doing something. And what I realized was, man, we was broke as a joke. We was happy, but we were broke. Then we start tithing, we start doing things, and I'll tell you this, never have we gotten rich, never are we living high off the hog, none of these things never happen, but I'm going to tell you some of the blessings, they're still going today in my life. Some of the blessings, let me be very honest with you. I come from a really big church, but the bank account that this church has, my wife and I's $50 started that account. Nobody gave us anything. I use this phrase that the kids say. Maybe the kids don't say it now, but they used to. We got it out the mud. Me and my family, me and my wife, we got it out the mud. Where she's from, she's broke as a joke. She was raised in 8 Mile in the trailer park with Eminem. The house we lived in before we moved here, before we started a church, the house that all my kids came home to was a trailer. And I'm not hating on trailers. We miss it. We wish we could go back. I love 589 Cross Creek Circle. I'd go live there today if I could. Amen. Beautiful place. We don't have no fancy cars, no fancy things. All of our cars is just A and B. We just pray and we make it to the next stop. Amen. And now we have a little bit, but we live like we don't. You can check the records, because what I give to this church, if I saved all that, then I would be driving a 2025 Chevy Silverado. If I saved all that, my wife is not bougie, she's not like that, but if I saved all that, I have my wife laced in all the finest clothing and all the finest things. But what I've learned is you can't outgive God. Amen. And when you're invested in something, you put your time and effort into that thing, and what you receive back is way greater than what you could ever give. And so I know people don't like to talk about money in church, and they don't like the thing. And I know some of our visitors are like, really, this is the Sunday that I came? Sorry. But listen, it's Bible, and it's something that we have to do and something we have to talk about and to establish as true and real and honest. And I'll tell you, if you have a home church where you're at, you tithe there. Your pastor will thank me for telling you that. But I know this because I know this because it's proof in my life and it's evidence. I've never regretted the day that I believed, hey, you know what? I got to do this. And originally when it was grievous to me, it was like, ah. But now I never even think about it. This is the truth. I don't even know. My wife would just fill out the envelope. She'll take care of that. You know, we drop it in there. I know what we're giving and things like that. But my kids are so, like, in tune with that. They know that Savea will be waiting at the door of the nursery like, Mom, you got the tithe? This ain't even, you ain't got no job, dog. What you trying to get my stuff for and give? Because they've been trained. They just understand from the time up. So when they are working, whenever my sons, when they got jobs, they just knew. I never had to have a conversation with them. They just know. And I'm telling you, this is Guarding Our Hearts and Our Homes Month. This is why I start with this. One of the major reasons why Christians aren't being blessed the way they could be is because they don't have enough faith to tithe. What if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I live on a fixed income. It's hard for me. We're struggling. We're doing this and doing that. I would encourage you, and I'll give you this. I would encourage you to come and sit down with me. Let me look through your bills and I'll show you all the places where the devil is eating up your fruit that you could get right. And I guarantee you, because if, listen, Let God be made true and every man a liar. If it's not true, then God's a liar. If you can't tithe, then God's a liar. Come on. You don't get many amens when you're preaching about tithing, Carter and Brandon. I just want y'all to know that. This is the blessing about being an assistant pastor. You just preach about whatever you want. But when the big dog has to come up here and talk about tithing, they look at you like you're crazy. All right, listen. But that's okay, because next week I'm going on vacation, so they can be mad at me for a week. When I come back, they'll still love me. I'm telling you, because I know what's true. If you don't tithe and you don't believe that you can tithe, then you think God's a liar. Now, that's harsh, isn't it? Yep. But it's true. Because God says you can tithe, but there's going to be some things that you're probably going to have to give up. Sorry, you might not be able to get your nails done this week. Sorry, fellas, you might not be able to get this rifle. Sorry, sometimes you got to save gas money. You can't go everywhere you want to go because gas is $11 billion a gallon. Sometimes you can't eat out. This is where most young people lose all their money. They eat out all the time. They grub hubbing and they and listen, don't be so lazy that you don't cook a meal. Buy a hog, put it in the freezer, and watch how much money you'll save. Notice I say hog. Eat everything on him but the squeal, baby. Come on now. Grow a garden and stop buying high-priced sodium-filled cans of green beans. If you can afford it, if you got it, flaunt it if you got it. That's all right. That's okay, too. God's not worried about that. But before you say I can't, check and make sure that it's not that I won't. The tithe is the Lord's. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful, Lord, for your word. Every single